I'd like you to open your Bibles this morning to that portion of Scripture we read from in Genesis, Genesis chapter 26. And with your Bible open, let's bow together and pray for the blessing of the Lord upon His Word. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee that Thou hast not left us to muddle our way through life, but Thou hast given us Thy Word, and in Thy Word Thou hast told us, "This is the way, walk ye in it." And Father, we thank Thee for the blessing upon the people of God who do follow in the pathway that Thou hast led before us. And Father, we ask of Thee that Thou would bless each one of us, and may we truly follow hard after the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask You, O God, that Thou would open our hearts today, and Lord, speak to our souls from the Word of God, and grant, O God, that we will be built up in our most holy faith and look forward with expectancy to seeing even greater things done yet by the hand of the living God. O God, for this we pray, that Thou would increase and strengthen our faith in Thee and in Thy Word. O God, make us, we pray, a believing people. Be with us now, we pray, and speak to us, and refresh us, and do us good. Last week, as I told you, the pastor spoke to us about Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, who was dispatched to go and find a wife for Isaac. And we enjoyed the message that our brother brought. And always remember, too, in that with the situation of finding that bride, that you have a wonderful picture of God finding a bride for the Lord Jesus. And if you realize that God does not just lightly look at these things, and in the case of Abraham and Isaac, that they went to great stress in order to get the right person. And likewise, in the Word of God, you find that God has chosen the Lord Jesus as our Savior, and He's chosen His people as His spotless bride. But that's another message for another time. But today I want to look at a later incident in the life of Isaac. Now, Isaac is the least known of the three major patriarchs. You have the three patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you'll find about 30 times in the Bible the three of them are mentioned together. But when you come to the Bible record of their lives, you'll find that in the case of Abraham, there are about 12 chapters dealing with him. And when you come to deal with the life of Jacob, you'll find about the same, about 12 chapters dealing with him. But when you come to Isaac, you find there's really only one chapter and a few little pieces in different places. So he is the least known of the major patriarchs that we find in the Bible. And as I told you, sadly, he followed the failure of his father, because Abraham tried to pass off Sarah as his sister, and in so doing brought the messianic line into question and into danger. And Isaac did exactly the same thing, because when he went down to the land of the Philistines, he tried to pass off Rebekah as his sister as well, and again imperishing the messianic line from which the Lord Jesus would eventually come. There's a warning there to all fathers and to all mothers, and that is that our children will tend to follow our failures unless we do something to turn around the situation and we take remedial action against it. So the Lord has given us children. Let us be very careful that we bring them up in the ways of the Lord. However, today I want to encourage you, because Isaac's failure didn't end in failure, because he ended in triumph and in victory. And I want to encourage all of you that you too may rejoice in the victory of the Lord Jesus. I want to focus on verse number 18, just the first line there, where it says, "Isaac digged again the wells of water." And so that's what we're about today, Isaac digging again the wells of water. Now, the first thing we want to look at is the reason for the wells. It was vital to Israel, and in those days they fought overwhelms of what I just read about it here, how the Philistines closed down the wells of the children of Israel, and so they fought over them. In our days, it's not so much wells of water, it's wells of oil that they are fighting over and will fight over until the end time. It was the wells of water that were vital to Israel, because the land is a hot and a dry country, and water is at a premium. And water was and is essential for our health, because in our bodies, well, our bodies are largely made up of water. We have a derogatory statement in Northern Ireland when you'd call somebody, "Oh, you're just a big drink of water." And that was a sort of derogatory statement that we would use. In fact, it's very true, because all of us, most of our bodies are composed of water. Now, people can live without food for a while. There have been some major hunger strikes in the past. Now, without food, you can live maybe about 100 days, but not much beyond that. But did you ever hear of a water strike? A hunger strike, yes, but never a water strike, because a water strike, you only last a few days before you die without water. So water is absolutely essential for our lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he drew a parallel, because in the John's Gospel, he met that woman at the well, and he said to her, "Whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." So the Lord Jesus, he told us, not only is there physical water that is essential for our physical health, but there's also spiritual water that is essential for our spiritual health. And he spoke to that woman of the living water that he could give, and it is essential for our spiritual health. But water is also essential for wealth, because when you have lots of water, then your flocks will multiply. And if you have no water, you get a situation like you read in the Old Testament Minor Prophet, where the herds are absent from the stall because there is a famine, because there's no water. And so in this country here, we should thank the Lord every day for the blessing he has given to us, because we can say with those of Israel in their day, it is a good land that the Lord our God doth give us, and we have no shortage of water. It is essential. The Lord has given us a land where there is plenty of water and plenty of things of that nature that we need for life here on earth. Now, spiritual prosperity also comes from the water of life, because John again tells us in chapter 7 that the Lord would cause, and that was the Lord speaking, he would cause out of our bellies to come rivers of living water. And so he's speaking about how people come from the dearth and the desert condition of sin to a living relationship with the Lord through the water of life. And that water of life is to be seen in our souls, that others will be blessed by it, because it tells you in the book of Proverbs, as cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. And what better news from what better far country is the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Because the far country is heaven. He came from heaven as the Word of God. He brought the Word to us, and that is good news, and that refreshes our thirsty souls. So the reason for the wells is to provide water, and water has to do with health and wealth, both in the physical and in the spiritual. But in this chapter here, we read about the ruin of the wells, because the problem was that the wells in Israel were under continual attack. And the Philistines were told they envied Isaac, and they began to fill in the wells so they couldn't get water. And I remember going to Israel many years ago with the Reverend John Douglas, and we had a wonderful time. because we went down through Hezekiah's tunnel. Now, for those who don't understand that, it was a place on the east side of the city of Jerusalem where they had the well Gihon. And what happened was that when the enemy came to attack Jerusalem, they would commandeer the wells, and the people inside would be short of water. So what Hezekiah did, and you read about it in the book of Chronicles, that what Hezekiah did, he built and tunneled out a tunnel from the well Gihon, and it finished in the well-known pool of Siloam. And they started about 500 yards apart, and they burrowed through the limestone, and they came together, and it's wonderful. We went right down it, right down through it. It's wonderful to see how that they brought the water from outside the wall to inside the wall so the enemy couldn't get at it. And I had a good laugh because John Douglas at that time couldn't swim. And when you go into this place, the water's up to your knees. And then as you go further down, it gets up a little higher. And when John felt the buoyancy begin to work on him, well, he didn't feel so good about it. But it's a wonderful experience to go down actually a tunnel that was made almost 3,000 years ago. But it's an illustration of how that the wells are always under attack. And that reminds us something of a problem we have. We have the well of water coming out of us that the Lord has spoken about, but the old devil, he doesn't want us to succeed. He doesn't want us to go forward. And he is the father of envy. He hates the Lord Jesus Christ, and he hates every believer. And so he would, if he could, dry up the wells of water in your life. And the times it seems that he gets a bit of a foothold in us, but we need to pray that the Lord would give us victory. So there's a problem, and that is the enemy is always trying to dry up the well that we have flowing from us through the Lord Jesus Christ. And his plan, well, it tells in verse 15 that for all the wells which his father, that's Abraham, his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped them and filled them with earth. So they wanted the children of Israel to be impoverished, to be brought into a famine situation, and not to have water to drink. And so they stopped the wells, and that would be a serious situation. And likewise, the devil, he wants to stop the well in your life. He wants to bring you from rejoicing in the good water of life that the Lord gives to get you to a position where you lose faith and you lose heart and you become discouraged and depressed and cast down. So they stopped the wells. And I remember on the first visit we took to Israel, they took us to a well near Beersheba, not the one that's mentioned here, but one nearby. And it was probably 20-foot diameter in the desert, and you looked down into this thing, and it was very, very deep, I guess maybe 20, 30 feet deep. And the bottom was a bunch of stones and a little bit of muddy water. And you look at that and you say that you'd need to be really thirsty to drink that stuff. And yet that's what they had there, and this is what the old devil would like to do to us, to get us to drink his filthy drink instead of the water of life. So folks be aware that he will try to stop them. It also tells us, too, that he filled them with earth. And that's significant because earth, well, that is dust, and we're all made of the dust of the ground. It's significant that it was earth that they used, because the word carnal is the word for earth. And so what the old devil does, he comes along and he wants us to do carnal things or earthly things so that the life-giving flow of water is blocked because of our tendency to go for those things that the world has to offer instead of being satisfied with the living water that comes from the Lord. And in the case of Israel, their glorious heritage was ruined at that time. And the heritage of the people had been ruined by the devil. And remember that in Genesis it tells us that the devil would be confined to eating dust for the rest of his life. He is the king of dust, and he would bring dust and he would destroy our lives. Now, there's always a connection between man and the devil, and he wants to destroy, if he can, your testimony. Now, notice the picture here, because the children of Israel, they dug a well, and in it was lovely, clear water that was nice to drink. And then along would come the Philistines, and they would start to put a few shovelfuls of dust into it. And the first thing that happens is that the water becomes cloudy and muddy instead of a nice and clean and pure. And then they pour more in, and gradually the water turns into miry clay. The mud and stuff all joined together to miry clay. And then as they put more in and top up the well, then the next thing is the sun takes over, hardens the clay, and you have virtual rock on the surface. And so it is not a very pleasant thing. And that's exactly what the devil does to us. He comes along and he brings something along into our lives that we ought not to be having, and he muddies the water of our testimony. And he keeps working at it, and he puts more in until finally we've moved to a miry clay situation. And remember how the psalmist told us he has taken us from the miry clay, from the pit, and from the miry clay, and on our feet, on a rock, he set our feet. And so the devil, he would do that to us. And then, of course, he would beat down upon us so that a clay would become hard, and as hard as a rock. Now, what a picture you have of the backslider and of the carnal Christian, because that's the way the devil starts. A little bit of the world and muddies the waters, a little bit more and turns into miry clay, which is now into the area of serious sin, and then a little more until your heart is rock hard. Anybody here this morning and you feel that your heart is rock hard? When once it was very responsive to God and to his word, but today it is rock hard. Well, examine the well and see what's happened. And thank God there is a remedy for it. Because we come to the recovery of the wells. That Isaac's men, they took a decision. And that is that the flocks have to be fed. And we have to be fed, so we have to get water. And they felt the need, because there was a serious dearth in those days. And they decided that they were going to do something about it. And what they would do was they would reopen the wells. And that's what it tells us here. Isaac digged again the wells of water. And so they went and they started to dig again. And sometimes we ourselves have to take stock and ask, Lord, is my heart the way it ought to be? Or is my heart hardened? And have I gotten away from the Lord? And we have to take stock and we have to admit it. Isaac's men had to admit, folks, we have no water. We got to do something. And so they started to dig the wells. And what we have to do as individuals, we have to look at our lives and say, Lord, am I doing the things that I'm supposed to be doing? Am I in the position I'm supposed to be in? Am I being the sort of person that I want to be? And a good prayer to pray, and I pray this frequently, and that is, Lord, help me. Help me to be the man or the woman that thou dost want me to be. Not what somebody else wants me to be, but Lord, thou art the one in control of my life. Lord, help me to be the man or the woman or the young person that thou dost want me to be. And if we are in that position, we are blessed indeed. Because sometimes there's a hymn there that we sing, where is the blessedness I knew when first I came to the Lord? And I know a dear brother, well, he's with the Lord right now, and he would never sing that hymn because he never felt he got to the place where he had lost the blessedness. But most believers would not be in that position. Most believers can say, well, there was a time when I was not doing as well as I'm doing now, or I'm not doing so well now as I used to. So that's the way it is. And we need to ask ourselves, where is the blessedness I knew? And make a decision, Lord, by thy grace, we're going to get this put right. And then you come to the determination, because their determination was to dig the wells again. Now, that's not an easy work. That's a difficult work, because they're going along to what was a productive well, and they have to start digging, first of all, the hard exterior where the sun has baked the clay, and they have to begin to dig. It's a back-breaking labor, and it means they're down very often on their knees. Now, what a picture you have there, because as we look at our lives and we want to be better for the Lord, we have to have a determination that no matter how difficult it's going to be, by the grace of God, we're going to get the victory, we're going to labor through it, and we are going to get down on our knees and pray our way through it, because that's the only way that you've got to determine that we're going to get the walls or the wells opened up. And it's the hardest work at the beginning. Brother James was speaking at the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, and he told us, reminded us, that the two things the devil doesn't want you to do, and that is to read the Bible and to pray, and especially pray. Because when you start to pray, if you do start to pray, you'll discover the old devil will come along, and he'll get your mind on something else. And then you have to wonder, what was I praying about? Because he's got you off track altogether. And so the devil doesn't want you to pray, because the hymn tells us the devil trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. And that's what he hates to see us down praying to Almighty God. And that's where we got to start and realize it's a difficult work. It's also a deliberate work because they had a particular objective, and that was to open up these wells and get the water flowing again. And so they began to do that, and they opened up the wells. You read of some of them here in the chapter that we have before us. Now, we're going through the summer season right now, and pastors always look at the July and August with fear and trepidation, because there's not very much you can do in the church in July and August. The church year, to me, starts in September. You start in September, the summer holidays are over, and the children are back to school, and things are back to normal again, and you begin in September, and you work through. But in July and August, it is a time where people do what the Lord tells them to do. He says, come ye yourselves apart and rest a while. And our workers have been working hard over this past number of months, some of them almost at the burnout position, so this is a good time to get alone with the Lord. And remember, the Lord says, come ye apart and rest a while. He doesn't say, go apart and rest a while. He says, come, because he wants us to have vacation with him. And so we're with him, and he's with us in our vacation, and it's not a case of leaving him, but rather that we're with him. And so we need to consider that. So July and August is a time for digging wells. It's a time when we need to get at the work, so that when September comes, we can hit the ground running, and not having to start digging the wells in September. We want to dig them now and have them ready for September, and so we go forward by the grace of the Lord, and pray that each one of us will be in good spiritual state, ready for the new church year coming up. And if we don't do that, we condemn ourselves to a deficient life, and we'll never know the full or blessing of the Lord. Difficult work, yep. Deliberate work, yes, get these wells opened, and then a disciplined work. Now, a disciple, the Lord's followers were called disciples. A disciple is simply a disciplined Christian. That's where the word comes from. So we are disciplined, and we need to be disciplined. I was just thinking this morning of how disciplined God is, because we live on earth, and we know that the sun was going to rise about 5 o'clock this morning, and it did, and it does every morning, because God is disciplined in his government of this earth, under the sun, under the moon, under all the myriad stars and planets and so on that are out there making up the universe. And so God is not undisciplined. Therefore, we as a people should be a disciplined people. Now, there are some people who are not disciplined. In fact, they would almost make a boast of the fact that they're not disciplined. And sometimes they look down upon those who are disciplined. But the Lord wants us to be a disciplined people, and we need to have the mindset within us that we're going to discipline our lives before Almighty God. Because that matter of reading and praying, you start off in January, given a reading calendar, starts off good, Genesis and Exodus, and then in Leviticus it gets kind of hard, and then almost some people stop. So we have to discipline ourselves to read the Word of God. And it's not a case of reading 20 chapters, the case of reading a bit and learning something from it. Far better to read one chapter and remember something than to read 20 chapters and not even remember what book you're reading in. And so we are to discipline ourselves in the reading of the Word of God and discipline ourselves in prayer as well, because I told you, the devil doesn't want you to pray. And if you do come to the prayer meeting, he'll not want you to pray there, because that's his biggest battle. And we have to say, no, devil, you're not going to get the victory by the grace of God. We're going to pray and pray through. And so that requires a discipline in the hearts of the people. And it's also a case, too, of a discipline to attend the church prayer meeting. People have said many, many times that the prayer meeting is the most important meeting in the church week. But you look at it and you wonder how many Christians actually believe that. Because there are some who will come every week to the place of prayer, but there's some who never come. And so you have to ask yourself that, am I disciplined? Need to be disciplined, especially in coming to the prayer meeting. And again, to the church services and whatever work there is, we are to discipline ourselves. Because in the case of Isaac, he had no excavators. He couldn't come in with a great big bucket and lift the stuff out and open the wells. They had to dig. It was a hard work, and they were disciplined in doing it. And likewise, there are no shortcuts to the blessing of the Lord. We've got to read and pray, and we've got to pray through by the grace of God. Now, if you think that's a hard work, it's also a delightful work. And that's what I want you to get to. It's a delightful work because you start to dig away the layers of hard clay. And as you get the layers away gradually, you notice there's a dampness there. And you dig a bit more, and you then, and before long, you discover there's water there. We used to have a wonderful well on our farm, and it was not a very big well, but the size of the piano there in the area, and it had beautiful spring water. There was a spring there, and it came up, and we had a trout, one trout, and the trout swam around, and that was there to keep the water pure. And we loved that. And the water out of it was just, well, sometimes I feel like David when he thought about the water at the wells in Bethlehem and his men broke through to get the water from. Sometimes I'd like to get water from that well, but sadly that well is no longer in existence because the people who bought it, they closed it up. And I'm not going back to dig it up again. But it's a delightful work when you go down and you begin to see moisture appearing. And these children of Israel and these children of Isaac, it says in verse 19, Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And that was good. And I'm sure they're very, very encouraged by that. And then in verse 21, they digged another well. And then in verse number 22, it says, he removed from thence and digged another well. And then in verse number 25, that it says, he builded an altar there and called the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, for there Jacob and Isaac's servants digged a well. So they digged down, and eventually they came to the water, and they were really rejoicing. And there's a good verse I'd love to preach on sometime. It's verse 32. It came to pass the same day that Isaac's servants came and told him and concerning the well which they had digged, and said unto him, "We have found water." What a blessing that would be to people who live in a thirsty. We've found water. And thank God, the child of God, we can say, we have found water. We have found the water of life from the Lord Jesus Christ. And we start to discipline our lives. We find the blessing of the Lord is a delightful work indeed. And then in closing, we've got the revelation of the wells. You have the reason for the wells because of thirst. You have the ruin of the wells where the old enemy would fill them in. And then you have the recovery of the wells where God's people decide to dig and they find water. Then you got the revelation of the wells, because the first thing was the revelation of the person of God, because in verse 24, the Lord appeared unto Isaac the same night and said, "I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant's sake." So here he is digging the wells, and here the Lord appeared to him. And as we begin to dig the wells in our lives, the Lord will appear to us, and he will come and rejoice. You'll notice, too, that it was the great I Am. In verse 24, the Lord said unto Isaac, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. And again, you have the immortality of the soul there, because Abraham was still alive, even though he was dead in the physical sense. I am the God of thy father. And as we begin to discipline our lives as believers and seek the Lord's blessing, that the great I Am will draw near and will encourage us and lift our eyes from the carnal difficulties of life away towards heaven and the blessings of heaven. But not only was there a revelation of the person of God, but there's also the revelation of the peace of God, because he says in verse 24 to Isaac, "Fear not, for I am with thee." One of the problems when the believer has his well stopped up, he begins to doubt God and so on. But the Lord is saying, "Fear not, despite the enemies, despite the difficulties, fear not." For he says, "I am with thee." Somebody has counted and said that that statement, "Fear not," appears some 365 times in the Bible, one for every day of the year. And so the Lord is telling us not to fear. And even though things be very, very hard, very, very difficult, and at times we're almost ready to throw up our hands in despair, the Lord still says, "Fear not, I am with thee. I haven't left you. I'm with you, and I'm with you to help you and to lead you forward." And again, that brings you to the fact that the revelation of the presence of God, because it says, "I am with thee." And if God is for his people, who can be against them? Doesn't matter if the devil's against us. Doesn't matter if his minions are against us. We will overcome by the grace of God. There is victory for the child of God because the Lord is with us each step of the way. And you think of the heavenly paraclete, the comforter. And the word means there, one who stands alongside. And when we go through the difficulties and the wells dried up and we're feeling so spiritually thirsty, he is there. Just open our eyes and look, and behold, the Lord is there. He says, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." And then you've got the provision of God, because it says there, "I am the God of Abraham," verse 24, "Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee." So he provides for us. And he provides our need. And if God blesses us, who can curse us? Nobody can curse the child of God if the Lord has his blessing upon us. So let's not get downhearted and discouraged, but rather to lift our eyes upon the Lord, because if God be for us, who can be against us? And then the last word, and that is the revelation of the product of God. Now, those of you who know mathematics will know that the product is the result of multiplying two numbers together. Yes, Mrs. Thompson is nodding in agreement because she was a school teacher, and she'll understand. I say that two is a number, and two is a number, and two multiplied by two gives you a product of four. And she's nodding in agreement, so I must be right. That's good. You multiply it together, and you get a product. And it tells you here in this verse 24, "Fear not, for I am with thee, and will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake." So God will multiply his people physically and spiritually. He blesses them and they prosper personally and in the church wise as well. And so the devil has been trying hard in this last little while to block our wells. And we need to have the church to grow and go forward, and the school as well. And we need just to get at the business of digging the wells. Because the Lord has not forgotten us. He hasn't brought us this far to cast us aside. And by the grace of God, I believe that we're going to see great things done in days to come. But let's get the shovels out and begin to dig and make sure that we ourselves are in good shape. And the church as a congregation is in good shape by the people attending to the discipline of their Christian lives. And we'll be able to rejoice greatly in the things that God is doing. So folks today, don't get discouraged. Don't get cast down. Because the Lord, I always think of that testimony given by Joshua and also by Solomon in their various writings, and they said that of all the good promises the Lord gave, he never welched in any one of them. That he kept the promises he made, and God does keep the promises, and we lose out when we get our eyes off the Lord and don't believe his promises. But today, let's begin to dig again the wells and rejoice greatly, as it was the case of Isaac, and they rejoiced in what the Lord had done for them. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the challenge of thy word this morning. And we ask you, O God, that thou would bless each one of us and help us, Lord, to examine our lives. And Lord, we have to admit that at times we are not what we ought to be. And sometimes the wells have been blocked and the old devil has sought to bring us down. But our Father, we pray that thou would get us all today to the digging of the wells, so that we come to the beginning of the new church year in September, that it will be with power and might and the people on fire for God. So be with us now, we pray, and bless us, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close by